This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. The Lord being Jesus. And he sent ahead of him, Jesus, in pairs to every town and place. Now it's interesting because it's in the Gospel of Luke. We may have heard that Jesus sent the disciples out two by two. In Luke, we get the disciples out two by two. But then we also get this other group of 70. 70 people, two by two, out ahead of Jesus to spread the news. So in many ways, what Jesus has asked them to do is to evangelize, which can be a tricky word, because many times when we think of the word evangelize, we think of the word proselytize. Not the same thing. Evangelism is about introducing other people to the way of Jesus Christ. But there was a story that I want to share when I was away on my trips. And I was thinking about when I was there. I thought, this is very interesting. So just let me give you a little background. So the program that I was participating in Virginia, at Virginia Theological Seminary is set in Alexandria, Virginia, which is right outside of Washington, D.C., and my family and I, we are baseball fans. I wouldn't say that I necessarily love baseball. If it were to disappear, I don't think that I would just be totally heartbroken, but I enjoy baseball. And if you know anything about baseball, they have a wonderful stadium, the team's not so great this year, in D.C. for the Nationals. And on Juneteenth, which was a holiday that you might remember, a new federal holiday, so everyone is still trying to remember that this is a holiday that comes up, all classes were canceled for that afternoon. And I thought to myself, well, I'm only here for 2 weeks. Let me see if there's a baseball game. And sure enough, there was a baseball game that started at 1:30 and it was 12 o'clock. And I thought, let's see if there's any tickets left. Sure enough, there were plenty of tickets. A, because it was the middle of the afternoon, and B, the Nationals are not doing so great this year. They were like $20. I was like, that's reasonable. And then I thought, well, I should see if someone wants to go with me. So I went into the lunchroom and I asked around, hey, there's a game starting in about an hour. Does anybody want to go to a baseball game? And a friend of mine, Josiah, raised his hand. He's in Birmingham. And he was excited. So we got two tickets. And then I thought about my friend Alpha. Now, Alpha is from Tanzania, or Tanzania, as I learned is how it is properly pronounced. Alpha is the dean of the seminary, the Anglican seminary, in Tanzania. And my friends, the seminary that I was at, well-funded, lovely facilities, quiet, peaceful place, very different from the reality of where Alpha serves his ministry. Over and over again in our time together, both last summer and this summer, he talks a great deal about the poverty that exists in his community. And I thought to myself, well, Alpha has traveled all this way to join us for this study. He and I had been in a class together and we'd become good friends. I said, I wonder if he would like to go to a baseball game. So I went and asked, and he said and smiled, yes, of course. So there we were, Josiah and Alpha and myself. We hitched a ride with somebody from the seminary who was headed home to drop us off. And we were excited, we were pointing out all the sites, because when you're on the seminary, like, I didn't have a car, so you're kind of stuck there unless you have transportation. So Alpha had not been out of the seminary area, and so we're pointing out, you know, there's the Pentagon, there's the Washington Monument, that little dome over there, that's the Capitol. And of course, he kept wanting to go, where is Donald Trump? And we're like, we don't know, but he lives in that house over there. And so it was fun. We got there, we came into the stadium, and the look on his face was one of awe and wonder. Now, in his community, soccer as we hear it, football, as he would understood it, is the main sport. So Josiah and I are looking at each other and we're like, Alpha, have you ever been to a baseball game?
No.
Do you know anything about cricket?
No.
So as we're standing there looking, we're like, how in the world are we going to explain to Alpha what is going on? When we walked in right then, it was wonderful. We broke the Nationals' losing streak, by the way. I take credit for that. They hit a home run. And of course, that was exciting. And so Alpha was excited. And so anyway, we find our seats and we're sitting down and it's like 100 degrees outside. And we're sitting and we're watching the game. And Alpha says, where's the clock? And we're like, oh, there's no clock. But if you look at those numbers on the bottom of that scoreboard, you see it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He's like, uh-huh. Well, each team gets 3 tries to hit the ball in each one of those things. Again, this goes on and on. And each one of those things, and he goes, and then, but you get 3 tries. And so the batter has 3 pitches, and he goes, so is his turn over? Well, no, because he also gets 3 strikes, and sometimes the pitcher doesn't throw a good pitch. And so it doesn't count. And so this goes on and on and on as we're trying to explain. And we're like, and then you have to, you know, you get a hit and you can score 1 point. So one of the players gets a hit. It's a nice, lovely hit. It's a single. And then he stops on first base. And Alpha says, so does he get a point? Well, no. You see those little white bags that go all around the field. He has to go all the way around to the one over there. And, you know, by this point, I was like, I don't even know how to explain this game anymore. And it was funny because this went on and on and on as Josiah and I are sitting there with Alpha in the middle trying to explain what in the world is happening here on the field to someone who has never experienced this game, knows anything about this game, and realizing right away I had taken for granted that he would understand any of it. And then, of course, there were the rituals that we had. Right, the 7th inning stretch where everyone knows the words to the song, except Alpha. The bullpen where all the kids gather around as the baseball players come out to warm up in the bullpen. What's going on over there? At the Nationals, they have these very goofy and fun mascots. They're like presidents with giant heads that run around the field and do little races. He was very intrigued by the giant heads. They also have this little golf cart that's shaped like a Nationals helmet that's supposed to be for the relief pitchers that they never use. So it just drives around the track by itself. He was very intrigued. But all in all, every time someone would get a hit, you could hear the crack of the bat, yes? He wondered why there was no point. He wondered how the pitcher could keep throwing the ball so many times. And then I had to translate miles per hour to kilometers per hour. That pitch was 97 miles per hour. That was 165 kilometers. Oh, very fast. Very fast. And as we sat there and the day progressed on, and again, the Nationals ended up winning, he asked when the game would be over. And I said, well, in baseball, the game is over when it's over. The game is over when it's over. And it went into extra innings because the game wasn't over yet. And he ended up walking off the field. He's like, so that's it? The game is over? Yes, the game is over. He hit a home run. They scored a point. Now the game is over. Very confusing. And I thought as I was reading the gospel, I was thinking how confusing it must have been for those who were first hearing the news of Jesus Christ. How hard must it have been for those 70 who were sent out to tell this new way of life, this way of life? They were told, go out ahead of me. Jesus didn't go with them. They had never met Jesus. Some of them may have heard about Jesus. But these people had met Jesus. They had listened to his teachings. And they were so excited, excited enough to go out and to introduce people to this way of being. Not knowing what they would find. What questions the people might have. But they were excited to show them something new. Jesus told them, look, the harvest is plentiful. He says, there are enough people out there who have never met me. There are people all over the world who don't know about baseball. There are enough people out there who have never met me. But you are the ones who are called to go and tell them. We live in a part of the world which is also interesting, because as we were talking in one of my classes, an evangelism class, about where we are, I said, we are the buckle of the Bible Belt. And then we went into this whole thing about drawing the United States of America, which was really not to scale, and trying to draw a belt and where the buckle is. And well, the buckle doesn't go over there. The buckle's in the middle of the belt. I'm like, but you don't understand. It's big. Right? This buckle is big. And so there's all this conversation. People in our communities, in our areas, many of them may have heard about Jesus. We drive down 110 up to the interstate. We see Pensacola Christian College. If anybody is even paying attention, they might be curious. So we may not encounter necessarily in our community, though there are many, I promise, who have not met Jesus. But what we may encounter are people who have a misunderstanding of following the way of Jesus. Now, I'm an Episcopalian, and I do believe there are many things the Episcopal Church offers in the way that we celebrate and follow Jesus. Some of those are our ideas around welcoming. Some of those are our ideas around what happens at Holy Communion and who is allowed to receive it. Some of those are around what do we understand about the way we worship together, how we pray to God. We know who God is because of Jesus Christ. We know who Jesus is because of Holy Scripture. And when we encounter that Jesus, the risen Lord, we are called to tell others about him. It's no longer 70, but millions. Millions of people around the world sent out to share and to teach this complicated way of being. We're lucky in our community that when we go out, someone may have encountered even the name, but these 70 went out and the people did not even know who Jesus was. This was completely new and probably just as confusing. But they did it anyway. And Jesus said to them, "Don't worry about getting it right. Don't worry if they understand everything you're trying to tell them. Just go and tell them about this way, the kingdom of God. Tell them about this new way of the kingdom of God." And Jesus knew that when they heard this understanding, that there was something different out there than what they had been told, that they would listen. I think sometimes when we think about how we're supposed to talk to others about Jesus, there is an expectation that we're supposed to know all the things before we can tell the things. Jesus says, don't worry about it. For some reason, we are all here today because we've encountered Jesus Christ. Perhaps we've had an experience of God in our life. Or maybe we're hoping that there is something more to this life. And we're looking for it. And we've heard about this man, Jesus, and what he can teach us about how to be in this world. My friends, many people do not know of Jesus. And while it may feel often that we're falling short of working to walk the way of Jesus, Jesus still says, go anyway. Tell people about me. In our Book of Common Prayer, that's a part of our tradition where everything that is in your service bulletin comes from, there's a prayer that it asks that we share the good news. That is, there is a new way of being in this world. There is a new kingdom that is near. Always sharing the good news, that we not only do it with our lips, but in our lives. that we give up ourselves to God's service, not only with our lips, but in our lives. That we not only tell people about the way of Jesus, but that we live in that truth every day. Because our life speaks louder often than our words. So much of what Jesus is instructing these 70 is, this is how you're going to be with people. He doesn't tell them what to say. He says, this is how you're going to be with them. We're called to be with people as they take this journey, with each other as they take this journey. You're going to accept their hospitality. You're going to eat with them. You're going to drink with them. It's not like we are today, me standing up here telling you all what to believe. He says, no, you're to be down there with them in their homes, sharing a cup of coffee, building relationships. There's a wonderful quote, and it's often attributed to St. Francis, though not, you know, I don't think it actually comes from St. Francis, but it is often attributed to St. Francis. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. How, my friends, do we preach the gospel at all times? How do we invite somebody into a new experience of the risen Christ and not worry about getting all the details right, but rather think about the experience of knowing the kingdom of God is near? We were so caught up in trying to explain to Alpha the ins and outs of baseball, the rules, what was happening, and finally we gave up. And we all settled back and just watched the game. And allowed the experience to be part of the knowing, to be part of the learning. We traded knowledge about the game to experience of the game. My friends, we are asked to trade knowing and teaching what's right about God and Jesus to inviting other people to experience God in Jesus Christ. To preach the gospel at all times and when necessary use words. So I invite you this week as you head out into the world. There's a lot of tourists in town, by the way. I don't know if you've noticed. How are you going to preach the gospel in your daily life and interactions with other people? Do we need to wear a shirt that says, follow Jesus or die? No. Can you wear a shirt, follow Jesus or die, if you really feel called to it? But how do we, as part of this 70 that is now expanded, go out into the world and preach the gospel and teach people about the love of Christ, the love of God in Jesus Christ in our lives? How do we invite them into an experience of a world and a life that is so far away from what we often experience here? How do we go about sharing the good news, not only with our lips, but in our lives? Amen. Thank you.